We're going to talk, we've talked about a lot of different things. We began with talking about God gave, and that's our theme. Now what? So we're to go on and we're to serve him and to love him and to walk in him. That's what we talked about. And then we talked last evening about the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, if we look at our verse here, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk in him. You're rooted and built up in and established in the faith as ye have been taught. And then he ends with abounding therein with thanksgiving. So today we're going to talk about God is sovereign. So what are we supposed to do now? How should I respond? Be thankful. Be thankful. So I hope you'll go home with a thankful heart. I know that some of you are grieving. Two sisters are grieving today. Their sister went home to be with the Lord. She's not grieving, and they're sorrowing, but with great hope this morning. And we're so thankful for that. But you know what? They're thankful too. One of the ladies whispered to me, she's home with Jesus. They're sorrowing, but not without hope. We have much to be thankful for. We have a sovereign God. And so as we begin this morning, let's thank that sovereign God for our last session together, this retreat, and look forward to a wonderful retreat next year. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are sovereign. We know that Jean is in your presence. We ask that you give comfort to her family members. We thank you that you give a peace that passes all understanding. The world can't even fathom it or understand it. Help this family as they grieve with a hope that only comes from you. We thank you for our time together. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for these that have served us so well at the camp. Would you put your hand of special blessing upon them, that you'd bless this ministry? Oh, Lord, we look forward to a new coffee shop. Would you please bless in that endeavor, that it would be used for your honor and for your glory, that ladies and couples and young people would knit their hearts to one another and to you as they fellowship together around a cup of coffee. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've done for us in these few days and what you will continue to do for us. Please, Lord, we're asking, as you'd be pleased, that you'd bring us home safely to our destinations, that we could be changed in our homes, that our family members and our friends and our co-workers would see Jesus in us. Even as some of us walk in storms, and eventually we all will, and we all have at one point. Lord, we ask today that you'd help us to walk away from this retreat with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as we look at this verse, or these verses, or the theme verses, the active participle is demonstrated in this. It says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's an activity. It's something we need to be abounding in. It's so easy to complain, isn't it? I mean, you're filling out your forms, and of course, they want criticism to help them, constructive criticism. But I remember we were hosting a great big retreat that we did annually in our church in New England, and it was at our church, and we always had a survey at the end, and this was their complaint. When they went into the bathrooms, they wished that we had toilet paper rolls that didn't stop. You know how some toilet paper rolls will kind of just give you a few sheets and they stop, and that's kind of common in a lot of public places. That was their complaint. And we kind of laughed at that, but we're like, okay, don't give that kind of complaint. That's a complaint. That's not a constructive criticism. But, you know, we need to be thankful for what the Lord's given to us and what he's done for us. Many of you have know the testimony of Johnny Erickson Tada. And in a book, I heard that Emily gave a recommendation for this book in her session yesterday, but Choosing Gratitude by Nancy Lee DeMoss. I want to read to you in the foreword, Donnie Erickson Tada wrote it, and let me read it to you. And this really speaks to my heart when it talks about gratitude. And so I've been thankful for most of my paralyzed life. Not only giving thanks in everything, as one part of the Bible tells, but always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, as another part tells us. Most of us are able to thank God for his grace, comfort, and sustaining power in a trial. But do we thank him for the problem? Just finding him in it. But many decades in a wheelchair have taught me to not segregate my Savior from the suffering he allows, as though a broken neck, that's her case, or in your case, a broken ankle, a heart, or a home, merely happens, and then God shows up after fact to wrestle something good out of it. No, the God of the Bible is bigger than that, much bigger. And so is the capacity of your soul. Maybe this wheelchair felt like a horrible tragedy in the beginning, but I give God thanks in my wheelchair. I'm grateful for my quadriplegia. It's a bruising of a blessing. I think that's an interesting statement. A gift wrapped in black. It's a shadowy companion that walks with me daily, pulling and pushing me into the arms of my Savior. And that's where the joy is. Isn't that something? Paralyzed from the neck down for most of her life. And she could say, "Thank you, Lord. You're pushing me to you." Spurgeon wrote, I can't say anything much worse of a man than he is not thankful to those who have been his benefactors. And when you say that he is not thankful to God, you have said about the worst thing you can say of him. I fear that there are thousands who call themselves Christians who are not thankful, and yet they never thought of themselves very guilty of that account. And he points out that we express our ungratitude in at least two distinct ways. First, we receive from God's hand only daily blessings without ever giving thanks as to where they come from. And then he says, second, we grumble about what we don't have. Wow. Isn't that the truth? So here's a biblical case for thankfulness. Why? Why be thankful? First of all, thankfulness is a command. Listen to Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Gratitude is a matter of obedience. We need to be thankful. And then, thankfulness is God's will. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. I don't know what the everything in is your life, but can you give thanks for it? Driving home today and you get a flat tire. Can you be thankful for that? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will that you be thankful. To be thankful is a command, and it is for our good and his glory. You might ask yourself in a difficult situation, how could this bring glory to God? What is God's glory? What does that mean to be glory? Here's a definition, a simple definition that I have. It's the sum of his attributes and actions. That's what God's glory is. And if I'm to glorify God, here's my application. I'm to show those attributes to those around me. Pretty simple, isn't it? Simple in theory, right? But not always otherwise. Thankfulness brings peace. Gratitude is a sure path to peace. Ask yourself, how are you doing? Do you find yourself anxious for nothing? Listen to Philippians 4:6-9. Be careful or be anxious for nothing. I know that you have a huge bill hanging over your head. You have a wayward child. Perhaps your marriage isn't what it's supposed to be. You are waiting on a diagnosis, or somebody in your family has a diagnosis. This hangs over you. But the Bible says to be careful, to be anxious for nothing. That's hard. What kept you awake last night, last week? Were you spending time in prayer, or did you find yourself anxious? Confess that to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm anxious. Please forgive me. I don't want to be consumed with this." He wakes you up in the night, Hope so that you'll be praying. But it's easy for us to be overwhelmed. It continues, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Oh Lord, I'm anxious, but I don't want to be. Please forgive me. Thank you for this trial that you've brought into my life, because it's drawing me and my family to you. Can you do that? That's what God wants us to do. And then he goes on in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The world doesn't understand it. I told you about our friend who passed away last week. When we went into his hospital room, there was a peace of God that passes all understanding. The staff and the medical people couldn't understand it. But he had a peace. He knew where he was going, and his family had a peace. It wasn't that there weren't tears in that room, because there were tears in that room. But there was a peace that was there, and the world doesn't understand it. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God says, look, think about the right things. We think the wrong way, don't we? We don't think about what's true. We don't think, you know, if you had an accident on the way home, what's the very worst thing that could happen to you? You could die? You're a believer. Is that the worst? Is Jean experiencing the worst thing that ever happened to her? She's in the presence of the Savior, right? Right. And so we don't always think on what's true. Told you last night, we could think about our children and say, oh, what a life wasted, cut short. Chad and Courtney's life was not cut short. They lived exactly the number of days that God wanted them to. There's a peace that passes all understanding. We have to think on that. That's the truth. I can't think about how old my little granddaughter would be. She lived in her mommy's womb for 7 months, and that's how long she was supposed to live. She never is experiencing the pain and the trial that we have. She never will. And she's going to be like Jesus. I'm not going to be holding a little baby, I don't think, up in heaven. She's going to be like Jesus. Wow. We have to think on what's true and what's real, don't we? And then thankfulness accompanies Christian service. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You are going to go home, especially those with young moms, and you know what? That laundry basket's full. You're going to have to do all that laundry. And then, for some reason, your family is going to want to eat tomorrow. Ha! You know? And you're going to have to prepare for that, right? You know what? And on tomorrow morning or Monday morning, you're going to have to get up and start school. Some of you are homeschooling. Some of you are sending you off to school. Oh. Some of you are in the pits of potty training. Oh. That's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. You know what? You can do those things. You can serve the Lord. You can be a blessing to your family. You can be a blessing to those around you. Tomorrow morning, some of you are going to work in the nursery. Now, you might need to take a Tylenol when you get out, and you might have to. Our church is booming with babies right now. In the last couple of years, we've just had so many babies. I mean, literally dozens of babies. We really have. We have 9 ladies on our list that are expecting moms right now, and we've just had probably 9 that have had babies in the last few months even. We just have a lot. So when you work in our nursery, you're exhausted when you get out of there. You know what? What a blessing to be able to serve the Lord. Be able to serve the Lord. Some of you I know are in a church plant. I remember our church in New Hampshire when it was in a little church plant. All the people in the church, they were renting a school building and they had to put up the nursery, they had to put up the chairs, they had to take them down. It's a lot of work, isn't it? Those are opportunities to serve. Remember, we had one couple in our church, and I love this. At one point, we had double services. For several years, we had double services in our church. Well, when you have double services, the bathroom gets kind of yucky in between. And so this couple said, I know what we can do. And what they did is they went into the bathrooms in between the two services and made sure everything was clean. Wow. Cleaning toilets for the Lord? We can do that. We can serve the Lord. Thankfulness is an act of worship. Psalm 100, verse 10, 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. What are you going to be thinking about tomorrow morning when you're singing that first hymn? Uh-oh, did I turn the iron off? I can't remember if I put the crock pot on. Did I turn it on? I meant to. What about the time bake on my oven? Isn't that what you think about sometimes? Uh-oh, you think about all those things. You begin to go over your grocery list in your mind, whatever it would be. We get distracted, don't we? Ask the Lord to help you to concentrate on the words, because you've sang, you know the words of great is, I think, faithfulness. You could sing them, they just roll off your tongue. You don't think a word about, think at all about it until the Lord jogs your memory. Worship the Lord. Worship him in beauty and holiness. Thankfulness acknowledges God's sovereign work. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Since we have the privilege of having my father-in-law and mother-in-law living near us, but my father-in-law in particular is quite feeble of health. Mentally, he's 100% there, but he's 89 years old, and he's struggling with walking and moving and all those kinds of things. And we're watching his outward man perish. But his inward man is renewed day by day. Can't see like he used to see. So we bought him Bible on tape. I can listen to it. He's listening to Alexander Scroby. Some of you know that verse, his voice. He's recorded the scriptures in many different venues, and people have listened to him for a long time. And he's got the godly, is it Scottish voice or something? I don't know. It just sounds more godly than our English. I don't know what it is. But he's blessed by hearing God's word. His outward man is perishing, yet his inward man is being renewed day by day. What a blessing. Listen to Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing heart and fills the hungry soul with goodness. That's what God does. He fills the soul with goodness, satisfies us. And thankfulness is our testimony. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Are you showing that forth to your neighbors, to your friends? Do they look across the front fence and say, this family seems happy and content? Do you say to your doctor, I'll praise the Lord? He's taking it, what? Praise the Lord? That's what God does in our hearts. It's a testimony to others. So here's some practical applications that I want to finally leave with you today. Daily, we need to be praising the Lord. David instructs the Levites. Listen to 1 Chronicles 23:30. This is what he tells the Levites to do. To stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise in the evening. He's going to tell them to praise the Lord morning. He's going to tell them to praise the Lord in the evening. Now, I wrote this in your notes. This is what I read, a book that's such a blessing. I know I'm not a widow, but she really is dealing with loss. And it's by Joyce Rogers. She's the wife of the late Adrian Rogers. Some may know who that is. In a book called In Grace for the Widow, A Journey Through the Fog of Loss. She said, life goes on and on by day. Before I get up in the morning, I pace myself spiritually. This is something that Adrian taught me to do. It's contained in an acrostic. I pray these words to the Lord. And then she says, why not begin your day using this helpful method to pace yourself? I wrote it here for you. She says, first of all, before she gets up out of her bed, she says, I praise you, Lord, that you gave yourself for me. That's how she starts her day. And then the A is for acceptance. I accept that you gave yourself to me. Wow. C is for control. I place myself under your control. You've got your plans. You've got your to-do list. Perhaps it's going to be interrupted. Does anybody's to-do list not get interrupted in a day? No. That doesn't happen, does it? And then she says, acceptance. I am I'm expecting it to be a great day. Some people in the four of you, you don't want to ask them how your day was, really, do you? How are you feeling today? I don't want an organ recital, right? You don't want to ask. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Listen, as you grow older, you're going to have aches and pains, right? Does everybody want to hear about them all? No. No. Truthfully, I'm telling you, ladies, they don't want to hear about it all. Accept it as a gift to draw you closer to the Lord. Do that. And then be intentional. It says 3 times a day. That was the example that Daniel had in Daniel 6:10. He says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, remember, he's not supposed to be praying to this God, he went into his house, his windows being opened into his chamber toward Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He was thankful. I like Thanksgiving. You know, Christmas, the hubbub of Christmas and what gifts are you going to give and what you're going to do. Thanksgiving is all about this great big meal, which can be a little stressful if you're not careful, right? But I hope you're thinking about thankfulness. There's some neat things you can do at thankfulness. I know some of you have ideas. We've had people go around our table and share a word of thanks. We love after Thanksgiving as a family to be able to just have some time together. I have sweet memories of Thanksgiving. Sweet memory of my father-in-law had just gone through treatment for cancer, and he was thanking the Lord for his wife. He was thanking the Lord for God's protection and care over him. That was a sweet time. One of our family members had had a miscarriage that year, and they were thanking the Lord for his goodness and protection. Those are sweet times to thank the Lord. One little niece, it's just a funny story. She said, I'm thankful that the Lord gave me a gift to be able to train and help dogs. And we all kind of smiled a little bit. But you know what she's doing now? She takes dogs and they come into her house and she trains dogs to be guide dogs that they use for other. It was a gift that the Lord had given to her. We all kind of snickered at this little junior high girl talking. She was good with dogs, but really, that's your gift. But you know what? It was sweet. We have sweet memories and our children have heard those things. And we're so thankful for those times and those things. I hope that you make great opportunities to not just eat this wonderful feast that everyone has prepared, but you take opportunity to thank the Lord. This is a great season to be able to do that. Perhaps you have a blessing box. I've heard of families doing that, just a little box. Every day, it's the month of November. November 1st starts. I want everybody to put a blessing in the box. And then maybe towards the end of the month or at Thanksgiving, you'll read it. Whatever it would be. It can be a simple thing. Children are going to say, thank you for my new bike. Okay. That's what they like. That's what they're happy about. Whatever it would be. So be intentional about it. It doesn't just happen. Make a praise list. You got a prayer list. Do you have a praise list? It's easy to have that prayer list. And then continually. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do you see the glass half full or half empty? Or do you see the glass full and running over? You know people like that. There's one girl, our services are live streamed, and there's one girl that sits in the front row of our choir. And listen, if your services are live streamed and you're in the choir, people are watching you. And some people just have this countenance. Well, this young girl, Ruth, has got the smile that is just everywhere. And there's a one lady in our church, her father is a shut-in. And she said, my dad has a crush on Ruth. And he's just sweet. And he said when she's been with him at times, he lives in another state, but she's been with him and they watch live stream together. And he'll look at the choir and he says to his daughter, this lady in our church, he goes, there's our girl. There's our girl. And he's looking for her. She's praising the Lord with her countenance and whatever it is. She really is a joyful, sweet person. She just has got this smile pasted on her face all the time. And she's genuine. And it just exudes the Lord and the praise of the Lord that's there. She's not a sourpuss in any way. But I just loved that story when I heard it. And I thought, I see that. I've noticed that about her. She just has that sweet countenance. I'm glad she's on the front row so people can see her. Be specific. I'm glad that I wrote in your book, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Sometimes we always think about that little chorus, but look at what I put here. Some thank the Lord, the first verse. Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy sure and sweet, but I would praise him for his grace. I pray that I would repeat, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Some thank him for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know he is mine. And then that chorus again. And then I love the last verse. I trust in him from day to day. I prove his saving grace. I'll sing his song of praise to him until I see his face. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I hope that's what you're doing in your own life. Thank him for your salvation. It's a gift. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And then for scripture. What scripture have you learned recently? Have you applied to your own life? I hope your Bible is worn. Sometimes, often when my husband is doing a funeral for a Christian, he'll say, can I see their Bible? He likes to see where they've been reading, what notes, what they've underlined. It's their testimony. It's a treasure to be able to have a Bible from some. Maybe you've been given a Bible from somebody who in your family who is a believer, and you have that gift after they've gone home to be with the Lord. It is a great gift, isn't it? Be able to treasure that. Thank the Lord for storms. We've talked about that. How have you drawn closer to the Lord and to others through your storms? Thank the Lord for your church. I hope you have a blessing of a wonderful church. A group of ladies here, they're having their 1-year anniversary tomorrow of their church, and they've talked to me about it. You're pretty excited, aren't you? Of course they are. Wow. What a wonderful thing. Thank the Lord for your church and for the people that are around you. And I hope you can even write down blessings. How's my church been a blessing to me? Listen, you're not going to find a perfect church. And if you do and you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. Right? Right. It's the truth, isn't it? It's the truth. And you know, go to church. Be there. We've been studying in our adult Bible fellowship roundtables during the Sunday school hour. We have small groups that meet around tables during the Sunday school hour, and we've been studying about the church. And one last week when I was preparing, I thought about this fact. You know, we can complain a lot about what's going on in our church and what our pastor's doing and what's happening and whatever it is. You know, look who was in charge of the synagogues and the temple, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and our Lord went there. It was not a perfect place. Herod was in charge, and he wasn't even supposed to be. right? And that's where they went. Don't get so distraught that you think you can't go to that church because it's not perfect. Of course, find a Bible-believing church and the best that you can in your area. You need to do that. That's important that you do that. But don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's where God wants you to be. So be thankful for your church and for that ministry that he's giving to you. And then thank the Lord for your friends. I hope you can list people who have been a positive spiritual influence on your life. Can you do that? Look back and think about it. Who led you to the Lord? Who first brought you to church? What's a family member done for you? How someone ministered to you? Be thankful. Be thankful. And then the very last point, start now. Do it today. Now, on your chairs, if you didn't get one on your chair, there's one near you because I can see some extras here. I gave you a little card. This is my challenge for you. Be thankful. Take that card and ask the Lord to put somebody on your heart that you can be thankful for. Perhaps it's a friend. Perhaps it's a pastor. Some other role might be somebody way, way in the past. Might be the person who led you to the Lord that you've never, or not in a long time, thanked them for. Or it just could be maybe you've been in the hospital and there's been a nurse that's been real sweet and helpful to you. Write them a note. Be thankful to them. So ask the Lord to put somebody on your heart that you're especially thankful for. Write them a note. Hand it to them. Spend a few cents and put a stamp on it, perhaps. That's my gift to you, and I want you to use it, okay? So start today. And I'm asking you if you would please commit that within the next week, you would take this note, and you would write it, and you would send it to somebody else to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Lord, help me to be thankful. Help me be abounding in thankfulness. He's given us his son. We have so much to be thankful for. And so I hope we'll be people that fill our hearts and our lives with gratitude and thankfulness. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, first of all, we do thank you for saving our soul. Help us to be women of gratitude and to be so thankful for what you've done, for what you've brought into our lives, for the people that you've brought into our lives, for the circumstances. Oh Lord, help us not to be grumpy. But help us to rejoice in you and to be filled with gratitude that we would go on in our lives and be fruitful, abounding in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray.